You're listening to FOJC Radio, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching the doctrine of Christ to the whole world. Good evening and welcome to Friday night FOJC Remnant Gathering. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper. And when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the February 8th, 2019 edition of the FOJC Remnant Gathering. So very honored that you're spending this time with us to study the Word of God. Our study for this evening is going to be entitled, The Sons of Perdition. And we have an announcement to make here as we begin the broadcast on April the 21st, 2019, we are going to have a Passover service here where we live in Evansville. And if you want to be here, we want you to be here. But we're going to be limited on space. So if you would like to attend that, it'll be 6 p.m. That'll be a Sunday evening. Let us know, because we will be limited on space. So there's also going to be about an hour from where we're at, or a little more, there will be a Now You See TV Passover, which will also be a great service. And we cannot be there because of the logistics of the facility. So anyway, if you want to be here, let us know. We will not be doing a Jewish Seder. We will not be praying any rabbinic prayers. We are going to do what Yeshua did. We will be having communion, foot washing, agape love feast, and then Sister Don and I, we're going to stay there in fellowship till we wear y'all out. So it'll be a great time, and we're going to be looking forward to that. We have a lot of things, as always, to pray about. And the Van Ruyens are in Australia. They have moved from Africa, and they are wanting a permanent visa, so we want to remember them. They have become real friends of our ministry, and we're so thankful to have friends all over the world, and that's no exaggeration. So we're very thankful for the Van Ruyens, and we want to certainly pray that they get that permanent visa. Bobby Silva's cat needs a miracle. Well, we love cats here at FOJC. And we're going to pray for Bobby Silva's cat. Crystal Springs, we love Crystal Springs too. And Crystal is recovering from a broken shoulder. And we really appreciate Crystal. We want to pray for her. There are many people that are wanting prayer for families that are new in Torah. Melissa needs prayer for her daughter's court case. We've got Sky Blue needs a new job and fellowship. Jennifer Lear, her grandmother passed, so she needs prayer, and for her and for the family. And out in South Carolina, Kurt and his son Cade, and there's so many. And please don't be offended. That's usually more than we mention. There's so many. We do. I guarantee you, we do pray for the requests that come in, even though we can't always mention all of them. And all we remember Kenneth and the work in Africa. And there's always so many. But let's go to the Father in prayer. Father, we do thank, and also too, I want to really, we do pray for John and Now You See TV all the time, but just put a little special prayer in there for John. You have no idea. A lot of times I would just like to get on here and vent and just say a bunch of stuff. But that just wouldn't be the will of the Father, but you would not believe the stuff, and that's a nice word for it, that Now You See TV and us that we deal with in a week's time. So it can get a bit stressful. So just pray for John and pray for us that we can be in the heart of the Father's will. Father, we do thank you once again for this chance to come before you in prayer and to lift up the Van Ruyens and just pray the greatest blessings upon them and just agree together that they'll get that visa in Australia to where they can be right in the center of your will. And for Bobby Silva's cat, Father, we know that you do love animals and that those animals love us. And they're important to us, so we know they're important to you. They're your little creatures. So please do work a miracle for that little animal. For Crystal Springs and her broken shoulder, Father, we just ask that you reach down and touch her and just take that pain away and refresh her in the spirit and just bless her mightily. For Melissa's daughter that's coming up with the court case, Father, we just pray that you have your will in that. And for all the families that are new in Torah, Father, give them wisdom and help them to not fall into bad counsel and bad teaching, but to follow straight in the doctrine of Christ. And Father, we pray also for Sky Blue for a new job and fellowship. And we pray for Kurt and his son Cade that in their struggles that you'll just mightily bless them. And for Jennifer Lear and her grandmother that passed, we just ask you to bless Jennifer's heart and all the family and just bless them in this time of sorrow. And Father, for John and Now You See TV, Father, just give them that extra blessing they need to do the work of the kingdom. And Father, we just pray that in this broadcast this evening that you help me to bring forth your word in clarity and truth, and help Sister Donna to keep everything running smoothly. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray and we agree. Amen and amen. Worship the Lord for just a few moments, and we'll be back with our lesson, The Sons of Perdition.
To call upon your name. All my life I've been a sinner, and for that I am ashamed. But I heard that you would listen, so I'm giving you my plea. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? I know that there are others who could offer more than I. I promise you I'd understand if for me you had no time. I'm unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? I guess I must be reaping from the seeds that I have sown. Lord, you owe me nothing. We haven't spoken for so long. If you could spare some mercy, I'll pledge my life to thee. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? I promise you, I'd understand. please come down to me. I could have just hit bottom, but I'm looking up to see. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me?
Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Our study this evening is titled The Sons of Perdition. And the son of perdition, as we'll see, is a name that is given to Judas, and it's also a name that's given to the false prophet. And we're going to see that there have been other sons of perdition, and when these false prophet figures, they have appeared throughout time, and whenever these false prophet figures appear, and we're going to show you some in the Hebrew scriptures, when people attach themselves and follow after these false prophet figures, well, they become the sons of perdition too. And it's going to be fascinating how this is going to unfold. But in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And in Scripture, it talks about the sons of God and the children of God, but there are children that are spoken of as the children of disobedience. And instead of following the true Holy Spirit, the Scripture says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are following after the false prophet figure. And there have been many false prophets throughout history, as we're going to see. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, and the Scripture says here, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, they can't stop sinning, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. They are children that are cursed. They are not sons of God. And the Scripture, the first one in Ephesians, it said the wrath of God was upon them. And here it says that they are cursed children. And it's not what you want to be a children of disobedience and follow along to become a son of perdition. And this is what a concept that has become strange to the minds of modern Americans, that there is a consequence for your actions and there's a consequence for the course of your actions, you see? And people will be set on a specific course in their life. They'll make a wrong choice. They'll be following after the wrong thing, and it isn't going to wind up good for them. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, here's a good example of what being the wrong child can do for you. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it talks about Jezebel. And it says, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. They were allowing this woman to teach. That made Yeshua very angry. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. You see, following after Jezebel was a big mistake, you see. And of course, Jezebel, you see, we're accountable for who we support and what we follow after. And if you follow after Jezebel, you're gonna get killed. Now, we meet the term for the first time in Scripture in John chapter 17 and verse 12. And we're going to be connecting this term, as we said, in the Hebrew Scriptures, and we're going to be looking forward to the final end of time before Yeshua returns. And in John chapter 17 and verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." And this, of course, is speaking of Judas, who was the son of perdition. And there's some very interesting things said concerning Judas. And this is something we need to understand to really get the picture of how this unfolds. And in John chapter 6 and verse 70, it says of Judas, "Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." Jesus said that Judas was a devil. And we see, and you know, Judas was a human being, but he was a devil because there was a specific place in time where Satan entered into him. We see two places in Scripture that we could point to where Satan entered into Judas. And in Luke chapter 22 and verse 3, it says, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12." And this is going to really connect here in very shortly, and we're going to begin to understand how these alliances work out. You see, when people are following after Yeshua without reservation, they're going to be hooking up with the real children of God. But if you make a wrong turn and you start following after the son of perdition and become a son of perdition yourself, this is going to make you to have relationships and connections that you'll wish you never had. Now, the reason why we see these patterns played out, and we talked about this last week in our lesson about Simon the Sorcerer and Helen the Prostitute. We're seeing the same thing play out here. We're seeing people play different scripts throughout time. And we're going to see this false prophet script, if you will, played out on different timelines. And in Ephesians 2 and 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." They were not the children of God, they were the children of disobedience, and they were on a course. They were on a destination. They had the wrong thing entered into their spiritual GPS. And it was taking them someplace that they're going to wish they never had a went. Now, let's go to the book of Psalms. And let's go to Psalm 55. And we're going to take this prophetic text. And we're going to see how this prophetic text refers to different time periods, and that how in different time periods these false prophet figures arose and drew after themselves the sons of perdition. Now, in Psalm 55, let's look at verse 12. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." And when we read that text, we immediately think of Judas Iscariot. And this is one of the Psalms of David. And this had a very direct application during David's lifetime. And during his time, it was his own son Absalom that betrayed him. And there was Absalom's counselor called Ahithophel. And Absalom was playing the role of the beast, and Ahithophel was playing the role of the false prophet. Now, this was more than just an act of rebellion. This was a deliberate scheme of Satan to infect the bloodline of Yeshua with Nephilim DNA. And we're going to show here from Scripture that Absalom, King David's son, was infected with Nephilim DNA from his mother. And this was Satan's scheme to remove David from the throne and to put Absalom in. Now, a lot of people, and here's the deal. A lot of people can't see beyond personality. And a lot of people, you know, King David had really stepped in it. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had Uriah murdered. He had sinned and sinned badly. And a lot of people said, well, you know, and Ahithophel, the counselor of Absalom, he was Bathsheba's grandfather. He had good reason to be angry with David. But you see, a lot of people would say, well, boy, David, he messed up. He sinned. I'm going to go over to Team Absalom. But those people made a big mistake, because Absalom was the false prophet, and even though David had sinned, he was God's anointed. He was God's man. And you see, when we sin and we repent, you are washed whiter than snow. As far as the east is from the west, so far will he remove your transgressions from you. And this is one of the biggest things the devil does. He will drag up your sins. He is the accuser of the brethren, after all. And he will try to drag up your past sins and your past failures. And that's when we have to deal with the accuser of the brethren. But those that followed Team Absalom, they become the sons of perdition, and they started following after the wrong individual. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 3, it says, now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Ammon of Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and the second Chileab of Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third Absalom the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai king of Geshur. Now this is the lady we want to look at. The mother of Absalom, her name was Maacah. She was the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. Now, in the scripture, in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 22, it says here, Numbers 13, 22, it says, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron. And remember the scripture we just read, these children that we just read, Absalom among them, they were born at Hebron. And Hebron was the ancient Nephilim stronghold. It says, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiam, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Now, this was the old Anakim stronghold in Hebron, where David's children were born. And you notice here that one of the sons of Anak was called Talmai. Now, here we have the mother of Absalom's, Absalom's mother, grandmother, was named after this giant, you know, and that would be like naming your child Adolf Hitler, you know. This Talmai was one of the huge. These Anakims, I mean, these would make Goliath look like a little fella. This was right up in the north, right by Mount Hermon, where the tribe of Dan was, where the Watchers originally came down. And this is a big red flag that Absalom's mom, that she came from the Nephilim bloodline. And this kingdom of Geshur, this is right there at the foot of Mount Hermon, right where all of this ancient evil came down. And we have even more clues in the text that would point us to this. We look here in 2 Samuel chapter 14. And in 2 Samuel chapter 14, beginning in verse 25, it talks about Absalom's person. It says, "But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head there was no blemish in him. And when he polled his head, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. And unto Absalom were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of fair countenance." And one of the things that we've also talked about in other studies are the long-haired kings. And this comes from the tribe of Dan. And because Samson had long hair, the people in the tribe of Dan, they didn't have the relationship with God, and they tried to have long hair to symbolize their strength. And the Merovingian kings, they were known as the long-haired kings. And this is because of their connection with the tribe of Dan. And this was also one of the marks of Absalom, his long hair. And in 2 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 9, we read the story of how Absalom died, which is also very interesting and certainly not a coincidence. It says, "And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And it was Absalom's hair that got caught that was his downfall." So, you know, this is not just a coincidence. This is the judgment of God. Now, I want you to notice something about the sons of perdition. Now, what does God think about it when someone said, "Well, I'm not going to follow after David, I'm going to follow after Absalom"? I mean, is it like, "Oh, gee, at the end of the day, oh, golly, I just made a mistake. I'm sorry about that"? You see, and God does have grace and God does forgive. But I want to show you the serious position you put yourself in when you follow after the wrong anointing. In Psalm chapter 55, we read the other scriptures earlier that related to Judas and also to Absalom. Now, what I want you to look at is that every time one of these false prophet figures appear, there is intercession for the destruction of these individuals that goes forth right up under the throne of God. And in Psalm chapter 55 and verse 15, this is the prayer that David prayed by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." You see, the minute someone said, "Well, I'm going to follow Absalom instead of David," they come under the wrath of God. Remember the scripture in Ephesians. The wrath of God is upon them. They're cursed children. You're under the curse. You're under the wrath. And intercession is going up before the Father, not for your blessing, but for your destruction. And it is righteous. It's a very serious thing to follow after Absalom instead of David, because Absalom is a definite type of the Nephilim beast, and Ahithophel was a type of the Nephilim false prophet. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 31, the scripture says here, "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." Look what David did immediately. "And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Immediately, there was imprecatory intercession out of David's mouth, because this was the army of the false prophet, if you will. They were coming against God's anointed, and it was time to go before the throne in seriousness. And these sons of perdition, they were underneath the absolute wrath of God. And in the timeline with Judas, and you talk about something that is really scary. In the timeline of Judas, when Judas was the son of perdition, it was Yeshua himself that prayed the imprecatory prayer against Judas. Could you imagine, instead of Yeshua interceding for you, when he begins to intercede against you? And what happens when you join the army of the false prophet and you start marching along to the beat of the wrong drum? And in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 24, Yeshua said, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Now, let me tell you, that's a very, very serious thing. So, I want to impress upon you the seriousness of what we're talking about here. You will be held accountable for what you follow after. And this is where we really need to have the discernment of the Spirit. And we've talked a lot about this, that you've got to come to the place where you can recognize the Spirit that's behind something. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 11 and 12, and we're coming into the time of the Passover. We're starting already to think about that. And Sister Donna is in charge of our de-leavening. And you see, and the pudding, when you put the leaven out of your house through the period of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it's a lesson. You remember that. We got to start thinking now, well, you know, the day before the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we don't want to fill the freezer up with bread. You know, you kind of work toward it. And when you do, I want you to remember that a lot of people, they will put the leaven out of their house, but they will forget what it really means. And leaven means sin, but it means more than that. In Matthew 16:11, Yeshua said, "How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not unto you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And when you go through and you are putting the leaven out of your home, you should be examining your heart to put out every doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That is why at our Passover celebration, there will be no rabbinic Seder. There will be no prayers out of the Jewish Seder. Absolutely none. We will be doing what Jesus said to do. We're going to sweep all of that out, just like Yeshua said to do. Now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 37, we're going to see here. Okay, and I think I skipped a scripture, didn't I, Sister Donna? Sister Donna says, yep. And this is an important one. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 4, And this is so important because now we're going to see the team line up. Judas is the son of perdition. And in the first timeline, in the time of King David, Absalom played the part of the beast and Ahithophel played the part of the false prophet. And in the timeline in the time of Yeshua, we have Judas in the role of the false prophet and we have the Jewish leadership in the part of the beast. Now, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 4, it says of Judas, "And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them." And that word there for communed, it means more than just have a conversation with. It means an entering in together. It's like a communion, like a fellowship, like a sharing. In other words, Judas entered in to the fellowship and of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the scripture not only says that Judas, Satan entered into him, but we know what Yeshua said in John chapter 8, that their father was the devil. Now, let's read this text, and there's things here we need to look at. And it really is going to loom large when we begin to put it forward into our time and make an application of in John chapter 8, verse 37. And we'll pick the text up here. And it says here, Yeshua said, "I know ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." And the Pharisees were arguing for genetic salvation. They were saying, "We are the genetic children of Abraham, therefore we're in the kingdom of God." And Yeshua said, "Well, yeah, you're the descendant of Abraham, but my word has no place in you." In verse 38, "I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." Even though they were genetic Hebrews, they did not have the same father that Yeshua did. In verse 39, "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they unto him, "We were not born of fornication," you see. And that was a finger right into the eye of Yeshua. That's what the Pharisees believed, and that's what the Jews believe still to this day, that Jesus was a bastard out of wedlock. That's exactly what they said. "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." Now, this is so important. And in the second part of the lesson, we're going to be showing you many plain, undeniable scriptures that just cannot be interpreted more than one way, but they are interpreted to be exactly what they're supposed to mean by so many. And when you try to share the truth with the Pharisee, they will not hear you. They will stick their fingers in their ear, and they will refuse to hear the words of Yeshua. And in verse 44, he hit them with the punchline, "Ye are of your father the devil." So, we have Team Yeshua, filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit without measure. And we have Team Judas, the son of perdition. Satan entered into him, and he has communed and yoked himself with the Jewish leadership, who Yeshua said are the sons of the devil. So you see, just as in the days of Absalom, when the people said, King David, you blew it, I'm going to follow Absalom, big mistake. And here, this is the biggest mistake someone could make, to align themselves with Team Judas rather than Team Yeshua. But as we're going to see, that's literally what many people are doing. They're rejecting the doctrine of Christ, and they're aligning themselves with the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And when Yeshua was passing by, this was the last chance for Israel to repent. And this was prophesied by the prophet Amos in Amos chapter 8 and verse 2. And the prophet said here, and he said, "Amos, what seest thou?" And I said, "A basket of summer fruit." Then said the Lord unto me, "The end has come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more." And in Yeshua's ministry, when he came in to minister, this was indeed the last call. And we see scriptures like this. You know, when you look at the prophet Amos, this is going to be the last pass by, and it ain't going to happen anymore. And then you read in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30, and it says this, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.'" And Yeshua was passing by, and this is the last call. You know, this is the last call. And when Israel, the leadership of Israel, they went with Team Judas instead of Team Yeshua, that was it. In Matthew 21, Yeshua said, "The kingdom of God is taken away from you and given unto a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." And in Matthew 27 and 25, this is the nail in the spiritual coffin, if you will. And that nail was already driven in, sad to say. But in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 25, then they actually said this, "And then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.'" And they wanted Barabbas instead of Yeshua. "His blood be upon us, and cursed children indeed, cursed children." Now, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to get very, very specific in showing the extreme consequences of choosing the wrong team and becoming a son of perdition. We will be right back on the FOJC Remnant Gathering.
You're listening to FOJC Radio, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching the doctrine of Christ to the whole world. Thank you for joining us here at the Remnant Gathering. We meet here every Friday evening at 6 p.m. Central Time. And when we're not here live, we have Auto DJ that plays 24/7, so you can always hear something. There's also some music hours on our Auto DJ that plays throughout the day. So come and join us anytime here on FOJC Radio. And we also have FOJC Radio on YouTube. It's the one with the open door. And you can also hear us on Now You See TV. David's famous for the Midnight Ride. It's every Saturday night at nowyoucetv.org. The Midnight Ride starts at 10 p.m. Central Time. So hang on to your hat, bring your coffee, and come join us on Now You See TV. That's right, spell it out, nowyoucetv.org. And thanks again for listening to our programs. Shalom and blessings to all of you.
My Lord, for His saving grace.
in a loud voice. They wanted to see the king, and they began to rejoice. But when the Pharisees among them, they rebuked them for their shouts. He said if they should hold their peace, then the rock would surely cry out. I don't want no rock to cry out in my place. I just want to thank my Lord for his saving grace. I don't want no rock to cry out in my place. I just want to live in my and praise his holy name. In the Bible, that in the last days, he will pour out all his spirit to each and every race. And when the holy anointing begins to fill our souls, we thank the Heavenly Father, for he has made us whole. I don't want no rock to cry out in the face.
Now back to tonight's message with Brother David Carrico on FOJC Radio.
Welcome back to the FOJC Remnant Gathering, and we always, after the break, we want to thank all of you that pray for us and all of your kindness you show us, the gifts you send us. We really do appreciate you listening and praying for us and all your kindness. We really, really do. And we just thank you so much for that. And we're going to be getting right back to work here. As always, we have a lot more to talk about. And we're going to be thinking about making the wrong choice and aligning yourself with the son of perdition. And in Genesis 17, verse 7 and 8, this is a prophecy that really gets wrong. You know, I mean, everything today gets messed up. But this is one of the bailiwicks that the evil one uses. But in verse 7 it says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Now, just exactly what does that mean? Well, we don't need to be wondering about that. Let's go to Galatians 3:16. And this is explained very, very clearly. In Galatians 3:16, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Now, at this point, you have to make a choice. Now, and you can't be neutral. Everyone has to make a choice. Now, does that mean that the believers in Christ are the inheritors of the land? Down in verse 29, it says, "And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Or does that mean that those that have place faith in Christ plus the physical Jews, that they're both the seed? Now, here, clearly, the Apostle Paul said, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds." You see, it's not seeds, it's singular seed, which is Christ, you see. Now, when people say it's the physical Israelites that are the seed, what have you just done? You see, the Word of God says that the seed is Christ. And you say, oh no, it's not Christ, it's the physical Jews. What have you just done? You have taken Christ and replaced him with the physical Jews that rejected Christ. You have just joined Team Judas, you see. And when you put the word Antichrist means to put something in place of. And you have just put the physical Israelites and the nation of Israel in place of Christ. Now, what happens in the spirit when people do that? Is it just, well, you know, I made a wrong turn here, I didn't know better. But you see, there, as we have showed in the scripture, there is extreme consequences for making a wrong choice and following Jezebel. Now, there's a term here that I want us to think about. And this is a term that George Orwell coined in his novel 1984. And he coined the term doublespeak, you see. And doublespeak is the way that Big Brother kept everyone in line. And you see, Big Brother said, now you can believe what you, and what doublespeak is, it's the ability to believe two things at the same time that are absolutely contradictory. And you see, Big Brother will let you think whatever you want to think, just so long as you believe what he says too. And an example of this is Freemasonry. In Freemasonry, they will admit a Baptist that would say Jesus is the only way of salvation. And you can believe that, that's fine, but you also have to believe that the Ein Sof, the grand architect of the universe, that he will give salvation to the Muslim or the Hindu Mason, and when he dies, we'll do his funeral ceremony and we'll put the lambskin apron and the sprig of evergreen in the coffin. And we'll, you know, preach him into heaven on basis of his Masonic works, you see. And they're believing at the same time two things that are totally contradictory. You hear this all the time, and this is how Big Brother controls the masses. And it's not just in politics, it's in the professing church. And this is a good example of it. And every night on the news, you hear it on the immigration debate. One person comes on and says, well, we've got to have laws. And when these people come in the country illegally, they're breaking the law. Then the other person comes in and says, well, I'm all for upholding the law, but these people are not criminals. Now, what did you just say? They break the law, but they're not criminals. This is doublespeak, you see. And it's the ability to believe two contradictory things at the same time. Now, this is a prime example where doublespeak is all over people that profess to be believers. They'll say, well, Yeshua's the seed, but oh yeah, the physical Israelites and the land of Israel, that's the seed too, you see. And the Word of God says, and not two seeds, but they say, oh, it's seeds too, you see. And they enter into doublespeak. And this, and you see, people that are engulfed in the vortex of doublespeak, they are deceived. And it's amazing how Big Brother knows what he's doing. And of course, Big Brother is Dr. D himself. And this is how people are deceived. But it's an obvious example of this. And in 1 John chapter 4, this is a double spreading of it. It talks about the spirit of Antichrist. And that's why I have been talking so much and encouraging people, you've got to be able to discern and identify the spirit behind something. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. And, of course, when we say that Jesus Christ isn't the seed, oh yeah, it's these people that denied he come in the flesh. That's the seed. You see, you have just given yourself a double layer of the spirit of Antichrist there. And in verse 4 it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And the them there is the false teachers that are teaching contrary. You see, we have to overcome them. But when you're swirling down that vortex of the doublespeak, you really got to repent. You got to shake yourself. And if you don't, it's just like a vortex in a whirlpool. It will drag you down because you are on the wrong side of things. In 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And you see what Satan will do. There is absolute brainwashing amongst professed believers that if you have truth, that if you stand for truth, you are divisive. And this is beat into our heads over and over and over. And what this is doublespeak. You see, if I believe, just like this issue here with Israel, if I believe that Christ is the seed, and that believers in Christ are the Israel of God. You see, if I say, well, it's okay to say that it's the physical Jews and the land of Israel, you see, the truth that I have found and have tried to taught, it's been negated. And you see, if it's okay to believe the truth, but oh, it's okay to believe the lie too if you want to. You see, it's one thing to believe the truth, but if you don't oppose the lie that's opposed to the truth, you've done nothing to injure the kingdom of darkness, you see. So this is how doublespeak will knock out the children of God from impacting the kingdom of darkness, because whenever they do come to truth, they're brainwashed with the idea that, yeah, if you stand for what the scripture plainly says, you're going to be divisive. And it will be, because I guarantee you, the biggest part of those that profess Christ, they're following after the wrong team. And this is just all too obvious. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. And when I will say things like this, and I mean we get the emails all the time, when what I say is the radical proposition, I say that everyone is equal at the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter what nation you're from. It doesn't matter what color you are. Everyone is equal at the cross. And also after the cross. God does not have a favorite race. And Yeshua and John the Baptist were not passing out racial brownie points. And when I teach this, I am called a racist because I will not give the Jews a favored status because of their genetics. Now, ain't that crazy? Isn't that a clear example of doublespeak? But, you know, people, you know, what can you say? It's doublespeak. It's a vortex. And what I say is, when people, like the dispensationalist, and many in the Messianic and Hebrew Root movement, when they give that favorite status to the Jews just because of their genetics, that this is racism, and I accuse them of teaching Jewish supremacy. Now, a lot of people, when I say that, you know, they'll get red in the face and call me some more names. But I have a book here in my hand. And I got a lot of books. And this book is a book written by Hal Lindsey. And Hal Lindsey is Mr. Rapture. He's the late, great Planet Earth guy. He's the most prolific rapture teacher that's ever been. And guess what? This book is entitled The Rapture. And in this book that was written in 1983, I want to read the very words of Mr. Lindsay. And when I say they're teaching Jewish supremacy, that's nothing more than what they say themselves. And this is what Mr. Lindsay says on page 80. The fact remains that all Old Testament prophecies about Gentiles picture them in a subordinate role to the Jew in the Messianic kingdom. There is justification for the old rabbinic teaching of Jewish supremacy in the millennial reign. Now, what did he just say? Now, let's have a replay. You see, now he's not only teaching Jewish supremacy, but he's uplifting the rabbinic teaching on Jewish supremacy. And I've read that. I know what it says. It says, like Rabbi Simeon ben Jochai, who wrote the Zohar, the best of the Gentiles kill. I know their plan they got going on. And we did a teaching a few weeks ago how they're going to have the Feast of the Beast. But it says again, there is justification for the old rabbinic teaching of Jewish supremacy in the millennial kingdom. Do they teach Jewish supremacy? Sure they do. Absolutely they do. They admit it themselves. You know, people need to wake up. And if you believe that God is no respecter of persons, you can't go for that nonsense, because that's what it is. It's just nonsense. It's Jewish fables, and the Word of God says that people that teach Jewish fables instead of the doctrine of Christ, that they need to be soundly rebuked. It's not just wrong, it's obviously wrong for anyone that takes the time to think it through. But you see, if you're trapped in the vortex of doublespeak, you know, that just rolls off. You might as well, you know, it doesn't do any good to argue with Gumby, because Gumby can't hear anything. Gumby has his little clay fingers in his ears, and he's not going to hear anything because he's in the vortex of doublespeak, and he's just having himself a wonderful time. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So now, the final false prophet, he is called the son of perdition, as well as Judas being the son of perdition. So you see, these sons of perdition have been throughout history, and always they have fooled people into following after them. And only those that will absolutely stick to what Scripture says, they're going to be swept up in the doublespeak. And you see, people are charismatic. And over, we say, let the Holy Ghost be your favorite teacher. And people are so susceptible to be caught up by charismatic individuals that they're just not able, they're overwhelmed to the place where the doublespeak, they can't see the Word of God, they can't hear it. You know, he that hath an ear, let him hear, but they put themselves in a place where they've got their fingers in their ear. Now, in Zechariah the prophet, chapter 3 and verse 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory, Zechariah 3 and 8. Hear now, Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And in the King James Version, it's all caps, and it ought to be. And the branch is Yeshua. It can't be anyone else but Yeshua. And in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. You know, thus saith Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch, all caps, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Now, The Father says that the branch is going to build the temple. So the only temple that's going to be of God is the one that the branch is going to build. Now, in John chapter 2, we'll read the scripture. And in John 2, this is where Yeshua cleansed the temple. And we'll just read a little of the context here in verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, they're all about that earthly temple. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. The Jews didn't get it. And today, people are not getting it. That the branch is going to build the temple of God. And the temple of God that he is going to build is his body. And that's you and I. We are the temple. And the people that are the dispensationalists, like Hal Lindsey, that have aligned themselves with Judas and with the Pharisee leaders, that it's the genetic Hebrews. Well, boy, they're all about that rebuilt temple also. And it's amazing. And I'm going to skip a few scriptures here, Don. I'm going to jump down. I'll go back and pick them up. But I want to go to Revelation 15:5. Because on this issue, it's amazing. I was having a discussion. This is a perfect example of how doublespeak will absolutely brainwash you. And I use that in the, I don't know of a better word than just absolutely brainwashed by seducing spirits. And I was having a discussion with an individual about the rebuilt temple, and how I thought that, that only temple of God's the body of Yeshua. And this person said, there's no place in the book of Revelation where a heavenly temple is mentioned. I said, really now? And I knew right away I was talking to a Bible scholar. And this person was sincere. And this person was repeating what someone told him. And let's just see how this works out. Let's see if there's any mention of a heavenly temple in the book of Revelation. Revelation 15, verse 5 and 6. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Well, whoops, we got one right there, don't we? Well, Revelation 16:1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And I got the wrong scripture. Okay, excuse me. Forget that. Revelation 15:5-6. Now, Revelation 14:17. Let's see that. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 17. It says, And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And you see, here's where we've come to. There are people that will argue things that are obviously wrong. Now, how can they do that? How can they say that, the scripture says Christ is the seed and the many are not the seed? And how can we read that and just say something totally opposite? How can we say that there is no heavenly temple in the book of Revelation when it's all over the book of Revelation? It's doublespeak. It's brainwashing. It's brainwashing by seducing spirits. And it's a serious thing. I mean, this really troubles me. How can people be that brainwashed? But they are. And, it's the thing. They've joined the wrong team. They have joined the sons of perdition. And because of that, that overspreading of the spirit of Antichrist is all over them. And, you know, when you have the spirit of Antichrist all over you, it's going to be hard to figure a whole lot out. That spirit of Antichrist really dulls your spiritual perception. And, of course, Revelation 11, this is their big passage where they teach the rebuilt temple. And in Revelation 11 and 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. Well, whoopsie doodle, according to the word of God, that one's in heaven too. And you see, it's a shame, you know. And I would just like, if it would do any good, I would just shake people, you know, wake up, wake up. But that doesn't do any good, and I can't do that. I'd get in trouble. But all I can do is preach the word of God, and he that hath an ear, let him hear. And if you're caught up in that vortex of doublespeak, and most people that start going down the hole, most people can't get out, but you can get out if you want to. But you've got to repent and believe the word of God, and you've got to start following the doctrine of Christ and what the scriptures really said. And of course, we're told all the time that when Yeshua comes back, there's going to be a millennial reign with Jewish supremacy. There's going to be a rebuilt temple, and we're going to have renewed animal sacrifices. And oh boy, won't that be dandy? But actually, what the Word of God says in Revelation 21 and 22, in the new heavens and the new earth, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So over and over again, people are turning the Word of God inside out with doublespeak. And it's a very, very sad thing to do. Now let's go back to Isaiah 55 and 11. Now, in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, we're back to our psalm, remember? This is the psalm where we read the prophecy of Judas, and it also applied to Ahithophel in that other timeline. And I want to read a scripture here that has a word in it that is associated with the false prophet. And in 2 Thessalonians, it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. He is called the wicked. And in the scripture, in Psalm 55, verse 11, that is right here in this passage, it says, wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. Wickedness is associated with this manifestation of the sons of perdition. Now, in Daniel 12 and 10, it talks about the situation of the wicked. And this is what happens when you get into the vortex of doublespeak. And when a person's in doublespeak, boy, I just pray that you jump out, because you're in a dangerous vortex. And the book of Daniel is wanting to hide from me here. So, here it is. I knew it was in there. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10. And it tells us about the wicked. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Oh my, the people on Team Judas, they're not going to understand. They have had their minds fried by the doublespeak, and they really don't understand. They can look right at the Word of God, and the Word of God can say, the seed is Christ, the many are not the seed. And they can say, Christ is the seed, and the many are the seed too. And they don't understand because they have chosen the wrong team. Very, very serious. But it goes on to say, but the wise shall understand. The wise shall understand. Well, I think I'm going to stop right here. And I think we get the picture that it's a very, very serious thing. The way that we handle truth and the way that we approach Scripture and the very, very dangerous thing to allow ourselves to be dragged into the vortex of doublespeak. All right, now tomorrow night on the Midnight Ride, I do believe that we're going to have the wildest ride we've ever had. I'm going to entitle this lesson, The Voice from Hell in the Masonic Coffin. And Sister Donna has prepared a big PowerPoint from it. It's a very tight presentation. And in the 30th degree of the Scottish Rite of the Night Kadosh, there is a Night Kadosh in the coffin that leads the candidate through the ritual. And I will be identifying who's in the coffin, the voice from hell in the Masonic coffin. And it will be a whizzy whiz banger, I guarantee you. So be in prayer for us, and we will certainly be in prayer for you. Let's close out with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the chance to study your word and to fellowship together. And Father, we just pray that any of those that are in the bonds of deception, that they just repent and break those chains, that you're able to do it, Father, and to set them on a straight course in following after you. So Father, we thank you and we praise you, and we just ask the greatest blessings upon our listeners. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray, amen and amen. And we will see you next Friday night, 6 p.m. Central, on the FOJC Remnant Gathering.
Thank you for being a part of our Friday night FOJC Remnant Gathering. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can check our website out at www.fojcradio.com. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you could call us at 812-473-3735. Thanks and God bless.